Good to be with you this morning. It is holiday weekend, Labor Day, and you never know on holiday weekends how our services are going to be, how many people are going to be on leaving us or how many people are going to be visiting us. And so if you're visiting us this morning, we welcome you. We have been studying the last few weeks some of the parables of Jesus. And we are this morning going to take a look at a couple parables on prayer. And to lead into that, I was going to just have a couple comments on some of the ideas that we have in Scriptures about prayer. When I first looked at this lesson, I was sort of reminded of something happened to us in college. When I was in college, we used to stay up every night and try to get our studies done by about 11 o'clock. Because at 11 o'clock, an old TV show would come on TV and we'd watch. I don't remember The Untouchables. But we'd watch The Untouchables from 11 to 12 if we got our studies done in time. And saw Elliot Ness try to clean up Chicago. But at 12 o'clock, they'd have a little information guy come on. And he would come on TV. It was a call-in show at midnight. And he would call in. He'd pray for you. And you call in and tell him what you want to pray for. He'd pray for that. And one of our guys there in the dormitory called in one night to talk to him, and he actually got a brochure sent to him. And in this brochure, he had a price list. That whatever you wanted to pray for, he had that much money. Now, if you wanted a TV, that was a $5 prayer. If you wanted a refrigerator, that might be $15. He had a whole price list of for prayers and what you could get for those prayers. And you can imagine what a college kid did with that, you know, in our dormitory. And you think, who could be taken in by something like that? But sometimes I wonder how we do view prayer. If we view prayer, maybe not quite like a price list, but that if any problems, we just, God's going to fix them. We're going to take a look at prayer for a few minutes this morning and take a couple look at a couple of the parables that Jesus talked about prayer and try to get a little better understanding about our relationship to God through prayer. One of the things that we have in our relationship, we looked at this some and we looked at the providence of God. We have a God who takes care and values us. We're valuable in His eyes. If you look over to Matthew chapter 10, notice what Jesus says. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valued than many sparrows. We have a God who values us. In regards to what happens when you're in Christ, when you're a child of God, you have a Father that takes care of you. And that's the first idea to start with. But the next idea may not be quite as easy for us to think about. And that is the idea that the trials that we face in life mold us into the kind of people that God wants us to be. Both James chapter 1 and in Romans chapter 5, both James and Paul says, you know, we actually should rejoice when trials and tribulations and suffering happens because this molds our character. We talk about God being the potter and we're the clay. He molds us into the kind of people through sometimes the hardships that we face in life. The other idea that we see in hardships is that when bad things happen to people, when real hardships happen, people change. People don't change if things are going just easy and going the way they want them to go. But when bad things do happen, then people are receptive to change. We see this over and over again in the life of the nation of Israel. Israel would be going good and they'd turn away from God. And God would send another nation in to punish Israel, and they would turn back to Him. People have a tendency to repent and turn to God during times of trouble. And those do come to us. The next is the idea that our scripture reading this morning, that we need to be patient in our prayers and our relationship to God. Look again at James chapter 5. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives early and late rains." Now, many of us aren't farmers now, but we know if you go out and plant a crop, you don't expect to see it tomorrow. You've got to wait for the harvest. We've got to be patient with the Lord. And then James brings out the idea of the prophets themselves. when he says, "You also be patient, establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. Behold, consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, the point he makes, if you think about the prophets, he says, think about the prophets of God. Did they have it easy? Did things just always go easy for them? Of course not. They had it very hard. Most of them were persecuted. Many of them gave their life for the Lord. He says, remember them, but they were steadfast. We are called to persevere, is the message that James gives us. God's going to be with us. He's a God of compassion and mercy. But we have to be steadfast, even when things aren't going maybe the way we want them to go. And we do have hardships and trials in our lives. And the fourth, and this goes very similar to with the prophets, if you go back to Hebrews, is the idea that this world is not our home. And so often we look for the rewards now, but in Hebrews, these all die. Talk about some of the great men of faith and going into the prophets. Not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. We even sing a song, "This earth is not our home." Peter uses these exact same words. We're strangers and exiles. This world is not our home. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they've been thinking about a land in which they had gone out of, they would have the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. And truly, we need to keep that in mind as well, that this world is not our home. Now, as that is a backdrop, look at with me at a couple parables of Jesus. The first starts in chapter 11 of Luke. And look at the very beginning. It's what we sometimes call the Lord's Prayer, but it's Luke's version of it. Matthew gives us a longer version, which many people memorize. But in Luke chapter 11, now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John, speaking of John the Baptist, taught his disciples. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." Now, that's gives us a short little pattern of prayer. But notice what Jesus says, "Your kingdom come," or the reign of God, the idea of God's will be done in our lives, that we live by God's will. The idea of there are things that we need materially. Give us our daily bread. The things we need, not always all the things that we want and desire, but the things that we need. And the things that we need spiritually. We looked last week at the idea of forgiveness and how that adds to our lives. But the idea of keeping ourselves from this world and in temptation and forgiving. And then the idea that we serve a God that truly hears us. And that's the point of the parable that Jesus gives in the next few verses. If you look down at verse 5, notice the way he says. And we look at this parable. We talked a little bit about parables last week. Most parables have a place in the parable where Jesus will use overstatement or even exaggeration or something that just really doesn't fit. If you can find the point of the parable that really doesn't quite fit or is overstated, that's the point that Jesus is trying to make to us. And so if you can find that point in the parable, then you can understand the point of the parable. And most parables have one major theme. Here, Jesus is talking about prayer. And so as we read through it, find the point of the parable that really doesn't quite fit. He says, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on the journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is shut, my children are in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not give up, give anything because he is his friend, yet because of his imprudence or in some honor, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Now, what in this parable doesn't quite fit? Well, you notice how many times Jesus uses the word friend. Have you ever had a phone call late at night from somebody somebody was in need, something had happened to a friend, not just anybody, but somebody that was close to you, what would you do? You get a phone call at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning and somebody's on the other end of the phone and they've got a need. Maybe their car's broken down or something else. They've called you because they have a desperate need. What would you do? Would you tell them, oh, don't bother me, call me back in the morning? No, you wouldn't do that. Any one of us would get up and do what we had to do. Maybe you've even been there. I can remember in college one time, I was out about 2 o'clock in the morning and my car broke down and I called back to the dormitory and somebody came out and helped me. But that's what we do. If a friend's in need, what do? You go help them. That's the point of the parable that doesn't fit. And notice how many times Jesus uses that word friend. This is not just somebody calling you that needs help. A friend needs help in the middle of the night. So what do? You get up and help them. That's what any one of us would do. So what's Jesus' point? Jesus is contrasting God with our own friendships. He says, if this is the way you treat each other, and he's later on going to say, and you're worldly, how do you think God's going to treat you? If you would do this for a friend, don't you think God's going to treat you even better than an earthly friend? That's Jesus' point. He makes that contrast between an earthly friend and God. He says, if you know how to treat each other, don't you think God's going to hear you? He's ready to hear you. You think he's going to put you off and tell you, don't bother me till tomorrow? You think God's going to do that? Of course not. And that's the point he makes in this parable, that contrast, that we serve a God who's always ready and able and willing to hear us. And notice how he ends with a passage that most of us are familiar with. If you look on down, I tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil or worldly, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, the last part of this parable goes along with the idea that Jesus, or our Lord, does answer our prayers, but even he answers them the way they should be. I know if you've ever heard somebody say, well, be careful what you pray for, you might just get it. And the idea is that God's going to punish you if you pray for the wrong thing. Jesus makes it quite clear, we serve a Heavenly Father who takes care of us, and he gives us the things that we need, even more so than we even know what we need. Our Father knows what we need, and he answers us in a proper manner. We don't have to worry about God giving us something because we prayed for the wrong thing. God gives us those things that we need. He's able and he's always there to answer our prayers. Now the next parable comes from Luke chapter 18. And it goes along with the same ideas that we see in this parable, but it adds a little bit to it. If you look over to Luke chapter 18, notice how this parable starts. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. And that's one of the keys to understanding the parable, is the idea of not losing heart, being faithful, being patient. If you remember back what we talked about with James, James told us to be patient, that this is the idea. The hard times are going to come to us. There's going to be hardships for every one of us to face. And the idea that we need to be faithful, we need to be steadfast and faithful and not lose heart, even when things around us may be harder than what we think that we can withstand. It says, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice for my adversary. And for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I never fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice. And so she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, I hear what the righteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay over them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, if you look at this parable, again, it's a contrast.
We see a judge and we see God, and definitely the judge is in parallel to God the Father. But notice how the judge is described. What are the two great commands that the Lord gives to us? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Notice what's said about this judge. He doesn't do either one of those. He doesn't fear God and he doesn't respect man. In other words, this judge violates the two great commandments that the Lord gives to us. This is a very, basically what we call an evil or worldly judge, is what Jesus is saying. He says, if this worldly judge does what's right, because this widow is steadfast and keeps coming, what about our Father? Isn't your Heavenly Father going to do even more? See, this is a contrast very similar to the friendship and God meeting, being our friend. Here, he's saying, if an earthly judge would do what's right, even though he's basically an evil guy, what about your Heavenly Father? Isn't he going to do what's right for you as well? That's the point that Jesus drives home to us with the two great commands. But he ends this parable with, will I find faith on the earth? And that goes back to the very beginning. Don't lose heart. The idea that we need to be patient. And sometimes we're not as patient as we need. We don't lose heart. Times are going to be times in our lives where we're going to face suffering and hardships and trials, and we may even wonder why. And Jesus is telling us, don't lose heart. Stand firm. Be steadfast. Like James says, remember the prophets. They didn't have it easy either. Stay steadfast. Don't lose heart in the hard times, so that when I do come back, I'll find you there and be faithful. That theme goes through but we serve our Heavenly Father who is truly there and ready to hear us and always able to hear us. In Revelation, we looked at a few weeks back, the writer writes the whole book of Revelation to people that were facing trials and tribulation so that they wouldn't lose heart, so they would be faithful. But he doesn't tell them it's going to all be easy. And one of the key verses that the whole book sort of revolves around is in chapter 13. And notice what he says. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword he must be slain. Here is a call for endurance and faith of the saints. Now this is a hard verse to sometimes take a look at. Because what he's saying is some of you are going to go to jail, go to prison. And even though the saints are calling to God and God hears them, some of you are going to go to jail. And then he says, some of you are going to die for me. That's what he says. He's not saying that all the hardships are going to be taken away, but you need to endure. Patient endurance through hard times is what he says, because you're on the winning side. You do serve the God that's going to reward you, but you've got to be faithful. You've got to endure and not lose heart. And sometimes that's not an easy thing for us to always see. But that runs through the idea of our prayer with our Lord. But now I want to share the fifth idea of prayer that I started with. I shared four. We also remember that we serve a God that does hear us. And one of the great passages to me is in 2 Corinthians in the very beginning. And notice what Paul says. Blessed be the God of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. Now, if you look at Paul's life, he went through a lot of hard times. But he says, God doesn't desert us there. God shows us and teaches us how to be content with whatever we have. And he comforts us through the hard times, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope is for you is unshaken, for we know that as we share in our suffering, you will also share in our comfort. We serve a God who truly sees us through these hard times. There are times in our lives when we may wonder, but we don't lose heart. We remain steadfast, and we serve a God of all comfort who's always there for us.
five items, and the lesson is yours this morning. Number one, the Lord has given us a pattern for prayer. And prayer is to be part of our lives. If you go back and look at the great men of the Bible, we looked at some before, prayer always was part of their life. You think about Daniel that prayed three times a day, even though it meant he was thrown into the lion's den because he went to God in prayer. God has given us the pattern for our prayers. We serve a God who's always ready to hear our prayers. We serve a God who always answers our prayers. And we serve a God who always answers our prayer in a good manner. He's the good Father that watches over His children. But lastly, we serve a God who wants us to be faithful, not to lose heart. We have to have faith and persevere to be steadfast through the things that we are called to live through in this world. Will the Lord find us faithful to the end? That's the call that Jesus says, will I find faith on the earth when I come back? This morning, we've taken a quick look at prayer. Prayer for those that are in Christ, because He watches over those who are His children, the children of our Father. If you're not in Christ, you really don't have the blessings of our prayer that are offered to us for those who are the children of God. If you're not in Christ, never a better time to put Him on in baptism, arising to walk a new life than now. If you've started that walk, but you haven't been faithful to it, there's never a time to come back to your Lord in faith. Prayer is one of the great, great, wonderful spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And through prayer, we truly commune with our Lord and our Father. And we know He is the God of all comfort that will see us through as long as we do not lose heart. And we remain steadfast to Him. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.